news of Christ.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us today by your Holy Spirit. Amen. In a world of bad news, Jesus' resurrection is good news. We heard in the reading from Corinthians that as in Adam, all died. Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve? I remember. One is shown in that story as falling short. And so because Adam fell short, humankind fell short. Jesus is the second Adam. He comes in order to set everything on a different trajectory, a different path. One Adam fell short, the second Adam accomplished. So we get to live in the knowledge of the resurrection, of Jesus' risen life. You may have been in church before for Easter, one or two of you. Others of you, maybe it's your first time. And as we read, listen to, hear the Easter readings and some of the songs that we sing, the themes may be quite familiar to us. And it's a challenge for the preacher to find something different to say that hasn't been said before. And quietly, some of you are thinking, I do hope he says something he hasn't said before, because we've heard David's opinions on Easter more than once. Of course, this Easter is different because we find ourselves in the midst of an election. Do you know that? Yeah. And I don't think that's probably ever happened before, but if you're a historian, you might tell me it has. I don't think it has. And so I do want to speak a little bit about politics. And of course, you know I can't speak about politics in terms of partisan politics, and I will not, but I will talk about politics. Because politics won't save us. Whoever wins the election in just over a week's time will not save us. And I think it's interesting in this kind of season, as Christians even, or if you're not a Christian, where we can put our hope in politicians, in platforms. The kind of platforms I like are on railways. That was a joke just for Brad there, to get a train joke in. We can put our hope on the wrong things. So absolutely, we should go and vote. And if you can't vote for your favorite person, vote for your least worst person. Get out and exercise your right and privilege to vote. But let's not trick ourselves into thinking that whatever the outcome of next week's election is, that it will be the answer. Easter Day, the resurrection, tells us that Jesus is God's answer. The politics of the kingdom of God is different to the politics of the world. Politicians are not the ones who bring in the kingdom of God. That's your job and my job. We're the ones who get to speak of, sing of, share about the good news of the risen Jesus. And so as we look through the passage, once again, this time we have that lens of a coming election, of people who are promising all sorts of things that probably, don't shoot me for saying this, they won't deliver. Jesus does deliver. So it's the first day of the week. Early in the morning, and the women have prepared the spices already to anoint the body of Jesus, and they go Luke 24, verse 1. They find the stone is rolled away. I wonder if you have heard of the stone before that covers the tomb. And you probably have in your mind a picture of a stone that is like a millstone. Is that fair? If I ask you to draw it, it's probably a circle, about maybe that deep or that deep, but it's probably circular that would be rolled. It's interesting reading the commentaries that that commentators think it was probably more like a sphere, which is a ball. For those of you that don't know what a sphere is, don't know why I'm saying that, you know what a sphere is. But it's, imagine a big kind of rock that's rolled in, like a ginormous soccer ball of stone, and that was perhaps what it was like. I thought that was interesting. Maybe you're not interested in that, but that for me was one thing I found that was new this Easter, I'd never seen before or read. Any pictures seem to have a round, flat stone. So anyway, the stone isn't there. We don't know how it got rolled away, but we imagine it's supernatural. Whether it's Jesus that rolled the stone away, or the angels that rolled the stone away, or something else. The stone wasn't there, and the women go in with their spices already, a bit confused because they would have expected the stone to be there and they'd have had to move it, I guess. And they couldn't find the body of Jesus, who'd been laid in a tomb on Friday afternoon. When they're wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleam like lightning stood beside them. And those men would be angels. And the women are afraid, and so they bow down to the ground to not see the brightness of the faces or the clothes that the angels are wearing. Now, normally, when angels appear in the Bible, what do they say? They do. But they didn't say, don't be afraid here. They said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you while you were still in Galilee that that's what would happen. Sometimes people tell us things and we don't believe it. And then they go and do that thing and we're surprised. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe if you're a child here, it's your parent that said, if you don't put your washing away, I will take away your iPad. And then the child fails to put the washing away, the parent takes away the iPad, and the child goes, well, that's not fair. I told you that's what I was going to do, and I did it. Anyone ever said those words? I'm glad it's not just me. You can think of other examples when we're told things, and then we don't necessarily see, or I should say at this point, other tablets are available, not just iPads. We don't necessarily listen to things people say. And I think that's what happens. They would have heard Jesus talk about this, but they didn't quite expect it to happen like that. When the angels draw their attention, they, oh, okay, that was what he was talking about. Or verse 8, then they remembered his words. So they come back to the tomb, and they tell these things to the 11 disciples and to the others. When it says all the others, it probably means the other believers in the area who had believed in Jesus, not necessarily the whole town. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others who were with them who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. So there are these women who have been told this by the angels, and they go and pass it on to the disciples, the apostles, and they think this sounds very strange. Again, just repeating what's already happened. They were told it was going to happen, then it happens, then someone tells them it happened, and they go, I don't believe you. But the verse we heard today, verse 12, the reading finishes with Peter saying, I'm going to go and look. He runs to the tomb, he sees the strips of linen, and he goes away and wonders what happened. So we're left with all sorts of questions and all sorts of wonderings in the text. And I'm not going to pretend to answer them all in the next 5 minutes. I think one of the things that has interested me is that we talk about Jesus being risen. Jesus rose, but we still talk about Jesus being risen. We talk in the present tense. Christ is risen. The resurrection has happened and is now. The kingdom is now. It's not that this happened and we read about it as a place in history, although it did. It's that it started and it carries on. The kingdom of God is for now. And sometimes I think it's easy for us, if we've been Christians for a while, to become like the stuff we put in our garages or our closets. Maybe at some point last September, maybe it was Labor Day, maybe you hung on a bit longer, you decided it was time. It was time to put away the lawn chairs. It was time to put away the swimsuits and summer wardrobes and store them away until the spring. And that at some point you'd get them out again. I think that's what can happen to a lot of us as Christians. We can become rusty and dusty. Think of an old car in a garage that's been there for years and years and years and needs somebody to go get it out and do an oil change and get it going. We can become rusty and dusty as Christians. And so spring and Easter and new life are times when we're kind of woken up. Anyone have a chocolate bunny today? No children, only adults. Wow. Okay, maybe some of the children are going to get chocolate bunnies. And if not, we'll pray that your families are kind to you. The Easter bunny, you could say, has nothing to do with Easter because it's not in the story. But of course, bunnies are symbols, rabbits are symbols of new life. I heard a story once, and I'm 99% sure it was from somebody in this church, but if not, that one of you will tell me that this happened to you, of someone that got two female rabbits from a pet shop. And they took them home, and they were assured they were both females, and within a few days, they'd got a whole load of rabbits everywhere. Because of the phrase breeding like rabbits, I think it's quite hard to work out whether you've got male or female rabbits. And so they ended up with all these rabbits. Maybe your house is a bit like that. Unlike with real rabbits, chocolate rabbits do not multiply. And they disappear very quickly, very quietly, and all that is left is a few crumbs and some silver foil. But the thing with the rabbits is they remind us of springtime and of new life and of new beginnings. And so as we think about the Easter message of Jesus dying on a cross, something like the one that's behind me, of being raised again, my question for you today, wherever you are in your faith, is how can you take the next step? Spring and Easter, about new life and new beginnings. The new life we speak of is the life of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, of a resurrection faith, of a Jesus who actually died and rose again. The resurrected Jesus is real, is embodied. He's in a body. It's not just a ghost floating around. We'll see stories in the next few weeks that unpack that a bit more. If you haven't heard the gospel, one of the quickest explanations of the gospel, and there are more nuanced ones, is that if you see the cross, on the one side, I could demonstrate this if I had ginormous boxes, but I don't have enough. But on the one side, you have God. And on the other side, I mentioned the first Adam, humanity fell away from God. And so then there is a gap between God and people. The church calls that sin, but essentially, we all know that we've fallen away from God, and we need something to bring us back, because who are we to stand in the presence of God? Who am I to stand in the presence of God? And so you have this valley, if you can imagine, with God on one side and people on the other. And that's not God's intention. God's intention is for us always to be together with him. And so the beam of the cross placed across the valley through Jesus' death on the cross, we are brought back to God. We can be in relationship with God. We can live into the kingdom of God. We get to be part of that. The kingdom that will and does change the world. The kingdom that we're invited to be part of. So we have a slide. You've seen this slide before, and Nona's going to put it up for me. We speak about here at St. George's our discipleship journey. So we've been talking about this now. If you haven't seen it, it's since about February last year. And we said that we're on this journey, and we have connect, explore, grow, and lead. And my question for you today is, where are you on the journey? And what is your next step in faith? So if you're at the connect end, we have opportunities for people to connect with the church. And there is no expectation of faith, of anything. There's just, we want to bless the community. And we have events like Baby Cafe that we run on a Wednesday at 10 or 9:30 or 10, which is a chance for people to connect with church. It's not a place where we're going to answer the deep questions of faith. It's just a place where we can connect. Then we have, maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're at the explore phase. You'd actually like to explore faith. Roxanne mentioned the Bible course and the Alpha course and other things that we run. And maybe you want to ask some of these questions. And it might be that you, at one point earlier in your life, felt like you had the answers, but now you're kind of not so sure about faith, not so sure about things, and would like to talk a bit more. So maybe you're there. And then in the middle is where I would put baptism and confirmation. So when you say, I believe that Jesus is Lord, and I choose to follow Jesus. And once you've done that, you're then in this grow phase, where we grow in faith. And whatever stage of Christian you are, whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 80 or 90 years, we're always about growing in faith. And then hopefully, as you grow in faith, you want to lead others. Lead others to Jesus, telling people about Jesus, and lead for Jesus. And so we have courses too where we're working with some of the leaders in our church and having those kind of conversations around how do we lead well in the church. I wonder where you are and what the next step of faith is for you. I want to say if you're a regular member of the church, this question is probably more difficult for you than people who are visiting or not at church so often. Because I think sometimes we think we'll get to a point, kind of like graduation from school. I've got the certificate. I was confirmed by a bishop when I was 14, or I was baptized at this point, and therefore I'm good. The kingdom I'm talking about, the kingdom of the resurrection, means we get to keep on going. We get to keep on growing and finding new ways to explore faith, to answer questions. So that really is my simple invitation to everyone today, to invite you to respond, to choose what you think it is that you would like to do as your next step in faith. Whether you're not sure about any of it and you'd like to kind of have a conversation with someone about that, whether you've been a Christian for ages and you want to take a step deeper in faith. There are multiple things shown on the website of the church, and the reason I mention that is because it's there 24/7, and so you can find it in 5 days' time when you think, oh, maybe David had a point and I should think about doing an Alpha course. You can, at 3 o'clock in the morning, fill out the form, and you will not wake me up because I silence my emails at night. But it will be there, it'll be registered, and then we'll get a sense of what do people want to do, and so that we as a church can serve each and every person. But maybe it's today, and you would like to say, I feel like my faith has been in pencil, and I'd like to write it in ink. Appreciate some people might not love that analogy, because not everyone uses pens, but maybe you think it's time to ink in your faith instead of having it in pencil. And so I would invite you, as we have communion, to go to one of the people at the sides who is there to offer prayer, and you could just say words to that effect. I'd just like to take a step in faith. Could you pray for me? And those people would love to pray for you as you step out in faith. In a world of bad news, the resurrection of Jesus is good news. Politicians, bless them, pray for them, try as they might, will not have the answers. Jesus does have the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one who brings in the kingdom of God and invites every single one of us to take part in the work of the kingdom, in living and sharing the good news of the Easter joy, so that we don't just leave it in an hour service on a rainy Sunday morning, but that we take it with us to transform our lives, our families, our neighborhoods, our city, and the world. Amen.